Our guest is a returning champ. You can keep up with all things Oregon at the Twitter handle at Duck Football News. Online, OregonDuckFootballNews.com. We welcome in Warren Williamson. Warren, welcome to 2021. How are things with you and yours?
All is good. Happy New Year, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. So, prior to this shortened season, when they won the World Series, the LA Dodgers had not captured the title since the legendary 88 season. You know, you think of the Gibson homer, the Hershiser domination. Yeah. So, a coincidental tie-in 32 years ago, where were you and how did it come to be that you had that gig?
You know, it was... Have you ever had, and you probably have, you ever had that job in your career, in your early career, that you just didn't think that you'd ever get, or it was like a pinnacle for you? That was me. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and a good friend of mine was the PR director, Mike Williams, for the Dodgers. And Mike and I got together before the season, and he said to me that the Dodgers needed someone to produce radio features for them, and I said, count me in. It was my first radio gig, and so that's what I did the entire season. I didn't travel with the team. We just produced them at home during the home games, and we set them up with Vin and Ross Porter and Don Drysdale, and that's what we did. And so every day during the home games, we'd be at the stadium in the dugout, and before we'd have opportunity to do the radio interviews, we'd watch BP, and usually Lasorda was out there throwing BP, the ex-pitcher that he was.
Yeah.
And it was just the greatest time, just hearing some of the stories of some of the greats in the game. It was an awesome thing.
So how frequent was your interaction with Lasorda? I mean, you know, he's obviously a guy, you don't have his kind of success if you don't have your eye on the prize and your guys and your pitching rotation and, you know, your depth chart and all that stuff. I'm just kind of curious what your interaction was, and was it common for him to drop like 80 F-bombs a sentence?
You know, every day at the home games, he was always around us. He'd always... sit after BP, he'd sit in the dugout, and he'd tell his fun war store, early baseball stories, if an audience, you know, was there as media members. You know, it wasn't kind of a friendship thing, but he was always so gracious to the media, and he would drop those F-bombs all the time, and that was a classic Tommy Lasorda. That's how he spoke. I mean, he was the kid from Brooklyn, I mean, from New York, and that's how he spoke. And you know, some of the greatest memories I have in my early radio career was around the Dodgers and around him. And, you know, I only have great memories. It's a sad day that we lost him today, but I have great memories of the man. He is such a beloved part of Los Angeles lore.
You know, you think of the Gibson homer, the last out, the dog pile on the mound, the remarkable accomplishment, of course, of Hershiser sometimes almost gets lost. I mean, his last nine starts were complete games. He broke the consecutive inning streak held by, you know, an L.A. Hall of Famer in Don Drysdale. He didn't allow a run in September. What do you remember about that run by the Bulldog?
You know, I've got a special memory of that game. So it was like September 26th or 25th, and Mike Williams, the PR director, said, hey, we're going to San Diego. It looks like Oro is going to break the record in San Diego. And so on that day of the game where it looked like he was going to break the record, he allowed all of us to come down into the dugout because it was going to be a scrum out on the mound, you know, to go get photos and quotes and things like that. They were actually going to stop the game. So we were down in the dugout, and it was September 28th. And sure enough, he ended up breaking Drysdale's record. And here's what I remember. Last pitch, he throws his hands up in the air, breaks the record, and I got beamed by a baseball in my temple and knocked me out, standing in the dugout. Seriously,
okay.
A San Diego fan hated the Dodgers so much they were throwing baseballs, and one of them cold cocked me in the temple and knocked me out. And all I remember is waking up in the clubhouse. Tim Belcher picked me up during that entire scrum, picked me up, and carried me in the clubhouse, and I eventually came to, and I lost lost all the interview and all that stuff. But Lasorda came to me later after the game, and you know, put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Hey, kid, you okay?" And it was just that's what I remember that day. It was classic.
Well, I'm happy you have some memory left after that.
Talking
with Warren Williamson of Duck Football News. So let's get to game five. Gibson turns around the backdoor slider. You get the famous shot of Lasorda running from the dugout, arms raised. Where were you? What do you remember about what I feel safe calling one of the most iconic American sports moments like ever?
Yeah, magic. It was up above in the press box. And, you know, gosh, that time of year, you couldn't get a ticket to the Dodgers. You just couldn't. And the place went nuts. And, you know, there was only one player on that team that I was really afraid of, and that was Kurt Gibson, you know, because he was just so, he hated the media, and he really did. He didn't like us at all. Very rarely spoke to us. And so we didn't get a chance to really talk to him much. I had a few instances because he was obligated to do Dodger radio, you know, with Vin. But awesome game. I didn't know how they would. I actually thought they would win that series. You know, Oakland was a great team that year, but it was just meant to be. All those pieces were in place, and so this year was really special to me to see them come back and win it again, because it had been so long. And growing up in Los Angeles, I was always a Dodgers fan. So again, one of my greatest jobs ever.
All right, I guess I could assume, since they've both been with the Dodgers, I mean, those guys between them, I think, put 120 years in with L.A. Mm-hmm. Talk about iconic. Vin Scully now, 93 years old. I would imagine you crossed paths with the legend more than once and have a story or two you could share.
So this was the crossroads of our lives. This was really funny. At the time, and this was in 1969, my father worked for a television production company called Ralph Andrews Productions. And Ralph Andrews that year produced a game show called It Takes Two. And it aired for one season, and Vin was the host of that show. And it was one of his only game shows that he ever hosted in his career. And my dad was a co-producer on that show. And so when I came to the Dodgers to work, Vin and I, we would sit down and we would talk about that experience. So he and I had that. I didn't know him back then. I was only like 10 years old at the time. But in 88, we had a chance to really talk about that. And so that kind of was a glue between us. But, you know, one of the all-time greats in the radio industry. And Vin would tell stories about famous players that he knew back in the 50s and 60s. And I was, you know, as a kid, I was, you know, 20 some years old. I loved it. I mean, I would just sit there and just listen all day to his stories as long as he would tell them. Vin is a great guy, and he is the last of the great ones, and it'll be a sad day to see him go. But I think it's appropriate that he was here to see the Dodgers win the World Series.
Yep.
He was here when he lost his good friend, the lefty pitcher. His name just escaped me. And, of course, Tommy today. So, you know, Vin is he's a great human being, but he's an even better broadcaster.
All right, we got to talk a little bit of Oregon. So yep. For all five regular season games, all we saw was Tyler Shuck and Shotgun, then suddenly Anthony Brown's in there in the Pac-12 title game. Then in the Fiesta Bowl, Tyler's back in there, drives him to the red zone, and he gets pulled and doesn't show up again until the third quarter. What did you make of not only the quarterback situation those last two games, but maybe now moving forward?
Man, that was a tough one, Steve. At the time, I didn't really know what to think. We all knew that Anthony was going to play. He played well against USC, but it surprised me that he came in so early. You know, Coach Cristobal said in his postgame they wanted to go with a hot hand, and so that was their choice. you know, but Tyler took them down the field in that opening drive, and then he was pulled, and we didn't see him again until, what, the third quarter. And it was shocking. You know, if Anthony Brown decides to come back for next year, and I think it's a possibility, you know, there's going to be some fireworks in that quarterback room. And, you know, and I don't think Ty Thompson's going to be there, but he's certainly going to push them. You know, and one of the questions that was asked in the postgame to Tyler was, would you consider, transferring? And he said no. He said he absolutely will come back and fight for the starting position and get better every day. And it's going to be interesting. But I got to say, I was surprised. I was really surprised that Anthony Brown played that much, and even more surprised that they couldn't move the ball.
Well, I'll tell you what, for all we know, Shuck might actually end up being the starter next year. I mean, kind of left it up in the air. But couple final thoughts for Warren of Duck Football News. With the passing of nearly a week, you know, you start to see maybe the big picture. I mean, we know what they lost. You know, Herbert, the entire line, three studs in the secondary, Troy Dye, not to mention important guys, Lamar Winston, Bryson Young, Drayton Carlberg. Any logic to maybe expectations, especially for the defense, were a tad over the top, and with recruiting looking good, that they're still in really, really, really good shape for 2021?
Yeah, it's experience. You know, Steve, how it is. You just got to get those guys more reps, game reps, and in big games. You know, I asked Coach in the post game at the end of the game, I said, yeah, losing hurts, but you must feel good about going into next season knowing you're going to get a full spring ball and full camp, at least, fingers crossed. Yeah. And that's exactly what he said. He said, you know, this is going to be a very, very good football team. If we get the entire spring season, we get the entire fall camp, I think they're going to be very good. It's just a matter of experience. And, you know, if some of those recruits are able to come in and play right away, you know, good for them. But Noah Sewell is going to be so much better. Their linebacking core, I think, is going to be just a monster next fall. But remember where they go. You know, they're going to end up going to Columbus to play the Buckeyes. And, you know, can they compete with them? Not so sure if they can. But they're going to be a good football team. And it depends on who's at quarterback, too. You know?
Yeah.
But they certainly got the horses when it comes to running the football. And they're going to have great wide receivers. How quickly the defense can really catch up.
And lastly, I mean, you know, you pretty much saw him play every snap of his Duck career. Goes in the sixth pick in the draft to the Chargers. We didn't even know if he was going to get on the field. Now he's one of two guys in the running for Offensive Rookie of the Year. What's your read on the kind of rookie season Justin Herbert cranked out?
You know, just like every Duck fan, you're just proud. You know, you're proud. You know, I was in the press box, probably like you, his opening day when he was a freshman and got to see him just emerge as this, you know, great Oregon quarterback. And he blossomed so much, not only as a quarterback, but just, you know, as someone who would talk to the media eventually. And it was fun getting to know him. It was fun to watch him. And I'm not surprised. I really am not. He has such great size, and he's so very smart. I think he surprised a lot of people, but I don't think he really surprised us. We knew what he was capable of, but it's great to watch guys like him and Marcus go on to the NFL and really have great careers.
Yeah, it's been remarkable, and if the LA had a better trainer, we might not have seen him get on the field.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
hey, Warren, right? That is some awesome stuff. Just remarkable that you got to experience all that in LA during such a magical season. I really appreciate you taking some time to share it. I really enjoyed that. Again, you can keep up with all Warren's up to on Twitter at Duck Football News Online, OregonDuckFootballNews.com. Thanks for the time, my friend. Enjoyed it. Be well. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Steve, and Happy New Year again.
All right, take it easy.